We're talking about the laws referring to an akum. The first we learned clearly, gezel akum is also according to most poskim. Then he's going into his house, taking something from his possession that belongs to him and taking it. That, according to most poskim, is like gezel d'oraisa, like taking from Yisrael. We said the one exception could be if it's stealing one condition to pay back later, temporary theft, like the chametz at the end of Pesach, or Shor Shalom Midas possibly, but generally you can't take something from an akum planning on keeping it, that's stealing. The next thing we learned was that there's a din of oshek by a Yisrael. Oshek means you can't refuse to pay a loan, you can't refuse to pay wages for what the person worked for you. That's lo sashok. But there it says lo sashok re'echa, so it would seem not to apply to an akum. If an akum had worked for you or lent you money, it would seem that you would not have that lo sashok. But the Rambam nevertheless paskins and Shulchan Aruch as well that oshek is aser bein when you saw bein la akum, we learned, and even though lo sashok might apply, we learned that there were mitzvahs asay that could apply both by loans and by money that he owes you for, that you owe him for working for you. But then we had the next shiur we spoke about last week about hafkos halva'a. The Gemara says that hafkos halva'a of an akum is mutter. Canceling his loans is mutter. So how does that fit in with what we learned the week before? So we had two different answers. We said that oshek is refusing to pay, I'm not going to pay you, and is with a power, with a chutzpah, I'm not paying what I owe you, I don't care. That's oshek. Hafkos halva'a is where you're not doing like that, you're just not paying, you're forgetting about the loan, you're not going to pay it. And we learned that that's mutter only when no one knows about it, no one in the world knows about it except you, and certainly not the akum. There are two reasons what the problem would be if the akum didn't know about it. One is that then it will be gezel again, it will be or oshek or whatever the yisurim would be, you wouldn't be able to take it from him. But once no one knows about it, so then it's considered an aveda. No one knows about it, so it's like he lost something. So an aveda of an akum is mutter. We'll talk more about that tonight. And the second reason we said was it could be that really there's no yisurim at all, except there's always a shul Hashem factor if he knows that you're not paying back something that you owe him. So if no one knows about it, then we said the case that the Rishonim say that he died, the creditor died, and he left a son behind who doesn't know about the money that you owe him. So in that case, where there's no problem with shul Hashem, and it's an aveda, no one knows about it except you, so in that case we learn hafkos halva'a is mutter. Tonight we're going to talk about a different set of cases which are very common, and that is where the akum gave you money that you don't deserve. Not that he worked for you or not that he lent you money. Here you went to the store and you gave him a $20 bill and the thing cost $10, and he gave you change. The 10 got stuck together and he gave you 2 tens for change. He gave you extra change. Or you ordered something in the mail and more came than was supposed to come. Just, that's the way it worked. It just, if someone in the warehouse there pressed the 2 button or the 10 button and sent more items than you had ordered and that you had paid for in advance or that he's invoicing you for right now. The question is, what do we do in those cases? Then, at the end tonight, talk about a related case, and that is, how about if it's not cash he gave you or an item? Suppose they sent a check by mistake. The insurance company sent a check that was too high, or you asked for some other rebate, and they sent you something that was too high. Are you obligated to contact the company and tell them about the mistake? So tonight's topic is Ta'uz Akum, where the Akum made a mistake. But the previous case there was no mistake. He just forgot about it. No one knew about it. It was just a hafkos halva'a. There was no one knew about the loan. No one knew about the money owed. Here is where he gave you something by mistake. So it's the Feirush of Gemaras. The first Gemara that we'll learn is a Bavli. Next Gemara will be a Yerushalmi. The Gemara of Bava Kama, the sugya that we've been learning, is Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara has a few cases. We'll see two tonight. We'll see more next week. We'll another. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "To usa muteres. If a Kanani makes a mistake, it's permitted to keep it." And the Gemara brings, well, two cases tonight. We'll learn. Kihod Shmuel zaven mekusi lakna dedava. Shmuel bought from a kusi a golden ball. It was actually gold, but b'mar de paris lavar bezuzi. But he thought it was a copper one, and therefore Shmuel only paid 4 zuz for it. Vivlei chazuzah, and Shmuel threw in an extra zuz into the payment so there wouldn't be any questions, because he saw it was such a good deal. Let him put an extra zuz so the kusi will be happy, and he'll be happy that he had got gold instead of copper. Rav Kana zavin mikusi mea resim chavisa b'meya. Rav Kana had a similar thing happen to him. He wanted to buy 100 barrels from a kusi, and the kusi by mistake gave him 120. So Ilai Chazuza, he also inserted an extra zuz into his payment. Amarlei, and he told the kusi, Chazeta lakasimichni, you should know I'm relying on you. You know, I'm not counting, I'm going with your count, and if it's fine with you, it's fine with me. And I guess he had a good eye, or Khan had a good eye, and he could tell that it was 120 here. But he told him that I'm relying on you, and that's Rashi's first shot, and because of that, he took the 120 barrels. So it's two similar cases. One is, yeah, get extra money, and the extra items, and the other is you got an item that was worth more. So the Rambam passes this lahalacha. Rambam hukas gzeila, perigid aleph, halacha dalid, and hey. He says, toos goi kavodes ka'avidas umuteres. The toos of a goi is like an aveda, and therefore it's permitted. We're going to skip the next part. We'll leave that for next week. And then he says, ketzad. What's the case? The guy was making a cheshbon, and he made a mistake. Here it could be with money, and he's giving change, or in the Gemara's case, he gave extra barrels. And the Rambam says, like the Gemara said, the Yisrael has to tell the kusi, you should know that I'm relying on your calculations. I mean, no, so look, whatever you tell me, I don't know anything. I'm just going to pay you what you tell me. In that case, it's mutter. But if he didn't add that extra line that Rav Kana added at the end of the Gemara over there, so then it's usher. Then you're not allowed to take it. Why? Because why did Rav Kana say that? Because Shema Yiskaven Hagoy Levodko. Because maybe the Akum is trying to test him. And if you take that extra money and you don't say I'm relying on you, and that line, it looks like he might have been testing you, and therefore it'll be a Chilul Hashem. But if you say, look, I don't know, I'm not counting over here. Whatever you say is fine. If it's too little, too much, I don't know. So you're not relying on yourself. You're saying you're relying on him. So in that case, you've neutralized any possible chilul Hashem, because you say, oh, look, I'm relying on you. I'm not counting. I'm just relying on you. So in that case, it's mutter. So the Rambam says the toast is mutter, like the Gemara said. But you have to make sure that there's no chilul Hashem involved. You have to know that he knows. You have to tell him that you're relying on him. And why is it mutter? Because it's an aveda. But it won't be mutter if there's a chilul Hashem involved. The Magen Mishnah, though, says, okay, the Rambam took Rav Kana's case. Rav Kana said, you have to remember that I'm relying on you. But the Magen Mishnah says, Mehach de Shmuel, but from the first case we learned, Shmuel and Ruvina, another case we didn't get to, we'll do that next week, Lina, Mashma Hasam, the Ein Tzarech Sheyam Le Yisrael, Reisha Chashman Chani Samech, the Shmuel didn't say that. So the Magen Mishnah says, well, from Shmuel it's Mashma, that you don't have to say that. So Rav Kana David Hachim Midas Chasidus, must be that Rav Kana was doing it as just a Midas Chasidus, and he waters down the Rambam's halacha. The Rambam says you have to do it. The Magen Mishnah says no, it's a Midas Chasidus. And what's the proof? Because Shmuel didn't say it. Why didn't Shmuel do it? It must be that you're not obligated to. It's just a Midas Chasidus, and therefore you don't have to. You don't actually have to do it. So the problem is, So according to Magen Mishnah, so why didn't Shmuel do Aminas Chasidus? You know, only Rav Kana is a Chasid and Shmuel's not a Chasid. Why didn't Shmuel also do the better thing? So the Knesset Gvil says it could be that Shmuel also did. The Rambam might hold Shmuel also did the way he's understanding it, except the Gemara didn't. The Gemara didn't explain it. Right? The Magen Mishnah learns it's a Machlokus, and Rav Kana is doing Aminas Chasidus and Shmuel isn't. And the Rambam could, oh, the Shmuel also did it, whether it's Chasidus or Meikra didn't, Shmuel did, and the Gemara just didn't bother explaining it. That's what he says to explain the Rambam, and possibly the Magen Mishnah. But Knesset Gadol himself says it doesn't make sense. Because, well, it makes sense in the Rambam and Magen Mishnah, but he says the Torah disagrees because the Torah doesn't say a word about saying this line. The Torah just says, the Talos of Akam is Mutter, and the Shulchan Aruch also doesn't say a word about that you have to tell the Akam that I'm relying on you. And why is that? Because it's hard to say that the Torah holds as Midas Chasidus, like the Rav Magis, because then he should have at least said that by the Midas Chasidus you should do it, like the Torah always mentions different types of Midas Chasidus. So he says that the truth is it's a machlokus, that Rav Kana says, you have to say this word, you have to say this line to avoid, to neutralize any problem with Chilul Hashem. But Shmuel holds, you don't have to worry about that. As long as you didn't do anything to cause that mistake, that we'll talk about next week, as long as it's the Akum's mistake, that he just gave you something extra, you don't have to worry that he's trying to test you, or even if he is trying to test you, it won't be such a Chilul Hashem, because why should he assume that you know what's going on? And the Knesset Gadol says, therefore, he holds that Shulchan Aruch means, and the Torah means, that whenever an Akum makes a mistake like that, he gives you extra change, or he gives you extra items in the mail, that or in the store, you ask him for something behind the counter, whatever they sell behind the counter, you ask him for a pack of batteries, and he gives you three instead of two. So when you get home, you see that he put three in the bag instead of two. So in that case, the Knesset Gadol says Shulchan Aruch is paskening, you just have to keep it, you can keep it, and there's no problem at all, even though you didn't tell him, I'm relying on you. Now what do we do? L'maisa, it's hard to be makel, because the Shach brings the Yam Shel Shlomo, he brings the Marshal says that clearly you have to say it, he brings from the Maiser from Kana, the Marshal says that you have to say, I'm relying on you, and the Shach brings the Marshal, the Yam Shel Shlomo says that you have to say that. Shulchan Aruch Rav also says a lesson like this, Yim HaNochri Tami Atzma Mutter, if the Nochri made his mistake on his own, it's okay. Yim Lo Yechil Hashem Bedar, unless it's going to be a Chil Hashem, B'nei Shalom Yivadal, because no one will ever know about it. V'nochon Sheyem Elo Yisrael, Reisha Chashvan Chanisemach, it's proper for him to say, you should know I'm relying on you. So even though he's saying you have to say the line, if you look at the Rambam's lesson was, Tzarech. Rambam said, V'tzarech Sheyem Elo Yisrael, Yisrael has to tell him. And if he didn't tell them, the Rambam said, you can't keep it. Right, so even though the Yam Shel Shlomo also, he said, in order to Shriach Hashem, Yomar Lugoy, you should tell him. And then Mishach also said, Hashem, Yomar Lugoy, Yomar Lugoy, he should tell him. Okay, maybe that's also meaning he has to tell him. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav, even though he says that this line should be said, but he says Nachlan is proper to say it. What happens if you didn't? Maybe there's a way out. But Lamaisa, what we see from this is that, number one, if he made the mistake on his own without you doing anything about it, which we'll see next week if you caused him to make the mistake, but here he made the mistake on his own, so that has the din of an Aveda. That's a lost object of his. And there's a pasuk that says he doesn't return a lost object. It might even be wrong to return a lost object if they're going to do Aveiras with it. We'll see soon if they're not going to do Aveiras, but people that do Aveiras, like Akum, they worship idols, so you're not supposed to help them do Aveiras and return lost objects to them. If they did a service for you, you have to pay them, that we learned, unless there's also no Chilul Hashem somehow to get out of it. But generally you have to pay them, and you certainly can't steal something from them, you can't refuse to pay something they're asking you for if they did your service and lent you money. But over here where it's something they lost, they just gave an extra thing, they didn't even realize it, they wouldn't have done it on purpose, you know, it was just a mistake they made, it's an Aveda, you don't have to return it, but there could be a Chilul Hashem involved. So to avoid a Chilul Hashem, either you need to or you should, or it's proper to say, you should know, I'm relying on you, whatever, you know, this is something I don't, you should know, when I do business, I don't count the change, I don't count the items, I'm just relying on you, that's the way I do business. And once you've said that, so for sure it's okay. If you didn't say that, so then you should ask a shayla, it seems like it's a machlok saposkim. And there's another pshat in the Gemara also. Rashi says a different pshat over there. He says it wasn't Rav Kana that said it at all. It was the Kusi told Rav Kana, "Bechal, you don't learn anything from here." That's another way to answer those Rishonim that don't like Knesset Dolu at the Torah Shulchan Aruch who don't seem to say you have to say it because they learn like Rashi's second pshat. That Rashi's second pshat is that he said the Kusi said, "Look, I'm relying on you," and he took it anyway. Okay, so that's one issue. So certainly you have to avoid Chilul Hashem. There seems to be a machlokes haposkim whether that line is necessary to avoid it or not. But that's certainly lemaisa. You have to avoid Chilul Hashem. Now, question is: suppose there's no problem Chilul Hashem, like a case where it gets sent in the mail, and there's probably not much Chilul Hashem shayach over there because they sent in the mail, and they're going to watch you. It's Chilul Hashem if they see you looking at it and a little smile, and then you put it in your pocket, right? That's Chilul Hashem because they say, "Oh, well, why is he smiling? Because he knows that I caught him." But suppose it's in the mail where there's no possibility of Chilul Hashem. It's from a machine where no one sees what's happening. So, is there an issue of Kiddush Hashem to return it? Right, Chilul Hashem is you don't want to look bad in front of people. They don't shouldn't say that the Jews are robbers and, that's the chosen people. That's Chilul Hashem. But suppose that's not going to happen. But is there an inyan to do a Kiddush Hashem, to return it? So there's a Yerushalmi like this. The Yerushalmi, Bar Metzia and Eilu Metzias, says a few ma'asim. It starts with the case of Shimon ben Shetach. Gemara says like this: Shimon ben Shetach havel osik ba'da kisna. We learn the Pnei Moshe's pshat, there are other pshatim, but we'll just learn the Pnei Moshe's pshat. Shimon ben Shetach was working with flax. It's a hard job. That's where he made a living, working with flax. So Amar lei Tamidoi, his Talmidim told him, "Rebbe, arpi minach, Rebbe, stop doing that. It's too hard. You don't have to work with the flax. Vanan zavnin lachad chamar. We'll buy you a donkey." But that's not low. He's so against it. You won't have to work so much. You won't have to take such physical effort. We'll buy you a donkey and you can make profit with that. Posh pshad, the way he's learning, you can rent it out. And it's an easier job than soaking flax and selling it. Others want to say pshad is that he was used to go door to door, do a lot of travel, walking by foot, and they bought him a donkey that he could travel with. It'd be easier, a better car even they were getting him. So Oslan Zabnul Sirkoi, they went and bought him a donkey from a Sirkoi. Pnei Moshe says it's a Yishmoel. So others say it's a Chashu person. Vitali whatever else was an Akum. Vitali Lechada Margoloi. And they found that there was a Margolius, there was a gem hanging around his neck. So Oslan Gabei, so they came before Shimon ben Shadrach Omrili, they told him, Min kedon lesatzorich loy tuvan. You no longer have to work so hard because we have a way out from you, for you. So Amar lo and Mama. So he said, why? What happened? So Amar le. They told him zaminan lachad chamar mechad sirkoi. We bought a donkey from a sirkoi. Vetali mechad emiragali. And there was a gem hanging on it, so you'll be able to sell it and support yourself without any problems. So Amar lo, he asked them, v'yoda b'amara, did the owner know that his gem was hanging around the donkey? Amar lo, they said no. So Amar lo, he said, Ezel chazer, go return it. So they asked him back, lo kein omer Rav Huna, didn't Rav Huna say in the name of Bibi Bar Gozlan, b'shem Rav, in the name of Bibi Bar Gozlan, in the name of Rav, I'm not sure Gozlan is like Goslin there, I don't know if that's a little any remnants over there. But anyway, they asked him, didn't Rav Huna say in the name of Rav that Hasib and Kumi Rebbe, that the people, the Talmidim, asked Akasha before Rebbe, and they said, Afila Kamando Amar Gazela Shalakamal. So even according to the one who says, right, in Yerushalmi, the Alas are missing, so Dimar is like the Omar. Even the one who said that the Gezel of an Akum is also not allowed to steal from an Akum, Kolam Amodio, everyone agrees, Shabed also Mutaris, that if he lost something, you're allowed to keep it. So, this is something the Akum lost. So, what's your problem, Shimon Shetach? Why are you saying that we should return it? You should keep it. It's a Aveda that you're allowed to keep. So Shimon ben Shetach answered back, Matan Sabin, what do you think? Shimon ben Shetach, Barbarin Hava? You think I'm a plunderer? Boy, Hava Shimon ben Shetach, Mishma Brich Elokondi Hudoi. I, Shimon ben Shetach, would rather hear an Akum say, Baruch is the, blessed is the Elokim of the Jews, May Agar Kohodin Amo, than any other, more than any prophet in the world. So, what's Shimon ben Shetach saying? He's saying that it's true, Meikar Adin, Halacha, Aveda of an Akum is Mutter, and there's certainly no Chilul Hashem here, because it would be a pretty bad, wouldn't be such a good idea to test him by giving a $1 million diamond to test him with, you know, in case you lose the test, you know, what you accomplish. You test him with a $10 bill, not with a $1 million bill. So there's no Chilul Hashem over here. But Shimon ben Shetach, there's an opportunity for a Kiddush Hashem. There's an opportunity that I could hear an Akum say, Baruch, Elokim dihudai, and that's more important to me than any money I could make by keeping the gem. Right, that's the Yerushalmi. Now, the Mordechai says, we have to, the Mordechai here in the Arasugya Tos, Akum says, that from this Yerushalmi, we learn that even when there's no Chilul Hashem, there's still a mitzvah to return it back. That's his lashon. It's a mitzvah la'adure. It's a mitzvah to give back the money that you got by mistake, because we learned that from the case of Shimon ben Shetach with that gem. The Rambam paskins this, not here by Tolstoy, the Rambam paskins this, this sif before, the halacha before, in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Zeila, he says, in Aveda, Aben Akum is Mukhan Shulchan Aruch, also paskins this in Siman Reish Samach Vav, so it's Rambam Shulchan Aruch, based on this Yerushalmi, they both paskin that by an Aveda, at least if you find an Aveda in the street, so even though Meikar Din, you're allowed to keep it if it belongs to an Akum, it's a city of Akums, and it's not likely belongs to a Jew, you're allowed to keep it, but, and there's no Chilul Hashem involved, no one's watching, but there's a mitzvah to do a Kiddush Hashem. The Lashon is, we'll see the Lashon soon from the Yom Shoshana, but the Lashon is, Shkidei Sheifaru as Yisrael, Shein Bali Amuna, Harezim Meshuvach, you're doing it to be Mekarshan, that people should praise the Jews, that they're Bali Amuna, that's something that's praiseworthy. And that's Paskin in Hilchos Aveda. Now, it's not mentioned over here in Siman Shin Mem Ches when it's talking about Tolos Akum, but the Mordechai says it does apply. The Shuvas Ben Yom Zev also brings a raya that when you could do a Kiddush Hashem, you should do it. He brings a raya from Yaakov Avinu. The Yaakov Avinu, what did he tell the brothers? They came back and they found that there was extra money. The money they had paid was found in their bag. So he said, when you go back, take the money with you and return it to them. What do you have to return it to them? It's Tolos Akum and they don't know about it. And so he must be that to do a Kiddush Hashem, you should return it. That's his raya also to the Mordechai that by a Tolos, you should return it to make a Kiddush Hashem. The Knesset Dololo says it's no raya. It's not right. It could be that Yaakov Avinu thought those they were framed, and he's sending the children. Shimon's in jail already, and he's worried about taking the other children back also. So something fishy is going on there. So it's not raya from Yaakov Avinu, and he says if there is an inyan of Kiddush Hashem, so why didn't Shmuel do that? So even if you want to say that there was no Chilul Hashem by Shmuel in his case where he got the gold one instead of the copper one, why don't you go back and tell the Akum, look, you gave me a gold one and said, I just came home, I saw it's gold and it's not copper. Or if in my negotiating he says, yo, by the way, you know this is gold, and make a big Kiddush Hashem. So the Knesset HaGdolah says it must be that there's no Indian of Kiddush Hashem. Now I'm not sure what he's saying now. Is he arguing with the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch who's paskin that way in Hilchos Aveda and saying that there's a difference between Tos for some reason than Aveda? I'm not sure what the difference would be, because the reason he could keep something that he gave you by mistake is because that's considered an Aveda, it's considered a lost object. So is he? So maybe he's just arguing, saying even whenever there's a lost object, you know, it's a Yerushalmi, we don't paskin like that, we paskin like the Bavli, where Shmuel didn't give it back. So I'm not sure, but the Maisa is the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal says you should return it, but he puts in a condition. He says like this: in Hechziru Kedei LaKadosh Hashem, if you're returning it to make a Kiddush Hashem, Kedei Faru as Yisrael, so the Akums will praise Yisrael, Shein Bali Amun HaRei Zeh Meshubach. Abel, but im daito bavur sheyashvicho also. But if you want it because you'll feel good when they say, "Oh, what an honest person you are," and you know, if you ever need to get something for your resume, we'll write for you, right? You want it because you feel good, or because you like him. It's a friend of yours. Oh, mishum shu. Oh, that's a guy. It's a friend of yours. The guy merachem alav. So then it's aser. Because why is it aser? Because there's aloch, you're not allowed to give something back to someone who's doing aveiros with it. So if someone's going to do avodah zarah and you give him some property back, so then it's aser to do. We're only saying though there's a heter if you're doing it to be mekadesh shem shemayim. But if you're doing it because you want to feel good or you want him to like you for some reason, so then you don't have a heter anymore. There's a tshuva today, Haaretz says that even if you have a suffix, suppose you're not sure if there's going to be a kiddush Hashem when you return it, it could be that you'll return it and they'll say, yeah, big deal, thanks a lot, you know, and you know, he doesn't even smile at you, like, you know, there's something wrong with him. So if you have a suffix, you think the person's you're not all there, or some reason that there won't be a kiddush Hashem. So he says it's also to return it because you might violate the problem of giving property back to someone who's going to do an aveira with it. So that's a little bit of a kula. But there's this famous Be'er HaGola, which we should read. The Be'er HaGola says over here, he brings this din of kiddush Hashem by a Shavas Aveira, which is where it's brought in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam. But then he says clearly, V'chein hadin b'chazoras hatoos shetoha akum me'asma. The same din applies to a toos, a mistake, that the akum made the mistake on his own without any urging of your part, any manipulations of your part. He just made the mistake on his own. The same halacha applies that when there's a kiddush Hashem, you should return it. And then he continues, "Vani kosezos ledoros." I am writing this for future generations. Shiro isi ravim godlav eshiramin hatoos shehitu ho'akum. I saw many people became great and wealthy from mistakes that here he's mashed that they tricked the akum. Velo hitzlicho, and they did not succeed with that wealth. The yarden echseim letimoyon, they lost all their property. Velo inu ha'chayim bracha. And nothing was left for them afterwards. The Kamesha Kosta, the Sefer Chasidim, Simin Tat Reish Ayin Dal, like it says in Sefer Chasidim. Now, Reuven Margolia says that this refers to Simin Shin Nun Ches in the Sefer Chasidim. They're different printings. And in Shin Nun Ches, he says that if the Nochri keeps the Zayim Misses B'nei Noach, so then certainly not allowed to keep his toes, because then you're not returning because someone's doing an Aveir. He's keeping all seven Misses of B'nei Noach, so then you'd have to return it. This whole thing is talking about Akums who do Avodah Zorah, who don't keep the Zayim Misses. So he quotes at Sefer Chasidim. And then he concludes, Rabim Asher Kishu Hashem, many people who are Mekadesh Hashem, V'chziru Toyus HaAkum, and they return mistakes the Akums made, B'davar Choshev, even though it was a lot of money, Godlu V'ashiru, they became big and wealthy, and they were successful with that wealth, and their children had a lot left when they were Nifter Acham Ebeshem. So that's the Be'er HaGola's conclusion, the famous Be'er HaGola. There's also a famous story about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Bandra brings it down from his son that when Rabbi Yaakov became Rav of Tzvi, Sitzivian in Lithuania, someone came with a shayla. He had first his stamps at the post office and got more money, more change than he had expected. So Rav Yaakov said, "Can I keep it?" So Rav Yaakov said, "You know, maybe he knows I just became the rabbi here, and he wants to see what the Jews will do when there's a new rabbi. He was testing you, so you should give it back." The same thing happened when Rabbi Yaakov himself went to the post office. He also ended up from that same post clerk, gave him extra change. So he saw that this person was really trying to set the Jews to see what they were like. And then he concludes his story. Rabbi Yaakov left to go to Toronto, and in Toronto he heard about the war, and all the Jews had been killed by the Lithuanians during the war, except this clerk had saved many Jews, saying that he always used to test people and only the Jews were honest. So that's a result of a Kiddush Hashem that's possible. So just to review what we have until now, so if you get extra change, he gave you extra change or sent extra merchandise, so if there's any possibility of Chilul Hashem, you certainly have to return it. Like any aveda, you have to return it. There's going to be chilul Hashem. To avoid a possibility of a chilul Hashem, the shach, quasi Yamshel Shlomo, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, suggests we should do what Rav Kana did, and like the Rambam says to do, and say, we should know, I'm just relying on whatever you do. I don't count my change. I don't count the items. I'm relying on you. And that way, you avoid any problem with Chilul Hashem. If it's a case, like through the mails, where there's no Chilul Hashem at all, so then there's no Chilul Hashem. There's no problem of keeping it. However, we just learned that if there's no Chilul Hashem, but if there's an opportunity making a Kiddush Hashem, so then, Yushami says, there's a big Indian to do that. Hashabbat Zaveda, it's possible in Shulchan Aruch to make a Kiddush Hashem when possible. We learned that a few years ago. And the Baragola says the same thing applies over here. By a mistake, something that came to you by mistake, you should also make a Kiddush Hashem with it. But like the Yamshel Shlomo says, and it applies in both places, make sure you're doing it as a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. You want Hashem to be praised, and not that you should be praised, and not that it's your friend that you want him to be happy with you. It should be a true Kiddush Hashem, and therefore if it's a suffix, whether there'll be a Kiddush Hashem from it, so then the Zohar says it might even be better not to do it. And certainly if there's no Kiddush Hashem by returning it, like you get something in the mail, and you call the number, and you're going to get someone in Bombay who answers the phone and say you got extra item. They won't even know what to do with it. And if they say, okay, send it back, you know, what Kiddush Hashem is going to be there? They don't even know what a Jew is over there in Bombay, and they're not going to tell the people, oh, you should know that the Jews are so honest. You know, Hashem has such a great nation, but they don't know what a Jew is. So in that case, it doesn't seem like there'd be a Kiddush Hashem. And if there's not going to be any Chilul Hashem, it seems like that will be a matana from Hashem that he gave you. What can you do? And many times, if you try giving it back, they'll say, look, you know, many times you call and there was a mistake I had with me. I sent something back and they were supposed to, one of them was okay, one wasn't okay, and they gave a refund for both. So I called them back and said, the truth is, based on what I'm learning here, maybe I didn't have to, but I did anyway. And I said, you know, I only did the one and not the other. They said, look, it's such a tircha for us to bother and change, just keep it. It was, you know, $5 wasn't a big deal, so just keep it. So if that's what it is, so it doesn't seem like there's much of a point to give it back, assuming that it's owned by Akum, by the way. If it's owned by Yisrael, so then every penny is every pruta is chashev, and that's Yisurim of Hashavas Aveda there. Okay, now how about a check? If you get a check in the mail by mistake, the insurance company sent too big of a check, they sent too big of a refund from BG&E, whatever it is, they sent too much money back to you, so do the same halachas apply. So you would say, why not? That's an extra check, and no one knows about what's the difference if it's extra barrels or extra extra batteries or extra anything else you order, extra tape recorders or extra check, extra money, extra cash that they give you. Well, Rav Avner brings from El Yashiv, and I think we had this far previously. He says there's a difference. When you get an extra check, okay, the Alka made a mistake, he sent you an extra check. Now, what are you going to do with it? So you're going to take this check and put it in your bank and tell the bank, take $100 out of BG&E's account because I have this check over here. So at that point, you're stealing $100 from BG&E. Right? They gave you a check, and that check is worth nothing. They didn't lose a penny from it when they sent you that check. Unless it's one of those checks that come from the bank that debit you automatically. But let's assume it's a normal, the old-fashioned check. And they sent you the check. They didn't lose a penny yet. They only lose money when you go and you cash it. So at that point, you're stealing from the Akum, and stealing certainly is usur. That's what Rav Yosha says. So this, if they sent you the object, so they sent you the object. Now they sent it to you, so it's yours. It's an aveda, and it's yours. That's fine. They send you a check, but you have to do something to use it. You have to put it into the account to use it, and that becomes gezel at that point. But the kuntres, this kuntres from the Beit Naroi says like this: what happens when you give me a check? If you gave me a check for $100, so you're saying like this: you previously had lent the bank $1,000, and that money is in your account. and the bank owes you $1,000. Maybe they're paying you interest even on it, but the bank is your lova, and you're the malva of the bank. You're the creditor of the bank. The bank owes you $1,000. Now, I go, and suppose you're not a bank. Suppose, it says like this, suppose, let's forget a bank for a second. Suppose that someone owes me, you owe me $1,000. And Shimon goes over to you and says, give me the $1,000, and that way you won't have to pay Reuven. You won't have to pay me. So he does that. And now I come to you and say, okay, where's my $1,000? You say, well, I paid Shimon. So what does Shimon do? Shimon caused you to caused me the cost me the ability to claim my loan. So same thing over here. He says by the bank, I'm telling you, you gave me a check for $1,000, and you're saying, well, look, you the Bank of America owes you $1,000, and you gave me a check for $100. So I'm saying, so I'm going to cash it. And when I cash it, so now Bank of America is going to say, we only owe you $900 now and not $1,000 anymore. So I've caused you a loss. And if I'm a Yisrael, I'm chai, if you're a Yisrael, I'm chai to pay you because of din of digarmi. There's a din that if it's not gromi here, it's mamash garmi. I'm like tearing up your staros. But by an akum, there's no din of garmi. So therefore, he says that it'll be okay because I'm only causing the loss, even though it's a direct cause, going back to the first two shiurim 9 years ago, even though it's a direct cause, which is chayva, yisova, yakum, it's not, and that's a hetcher that he says. Okay, I'm not sure, you know, Rabbi Yosef says it's aser. That's, and he doesn't say who he is, but Rabbi Yosef holds that that's called gezel, and here's maybe a sora not to. Now, one last case, and this is a little bit different, where the case, the kisos leisavid has a shayla like this, that a person had $10,000 in the bank, and he said, so he went to the bank and said, I want you to open up four accounts for my four children, empty out my account from the $10,000 and give them each $2,500 for the four children. And he did that, and he went home, and then when the next month came, they got accounts, and instead of each one having $2,500, each one had $10,000. The bank made a mistake and gave each of the four children $10,000. So the shaila was, can the children now capitalize on this mistake of the bank and keep the $10,000, or are they mechuyev to tell the bank that they made a mistake? Right? Same idea here. So if it just be a toast, so then we have to deal with it. Chilul Hashem, probably not. Will there be a Kiddush Hashem? Well, if you show up with a beard and you show up with a yarmulke on, so then you, a yarmulke even without a beard, and so then maybe grow a beard to make a big Kiddush Hashem, so then you're doing a Kiddush Hashem. Make a shrimal maybe even, you know, to make a big Kiddush Hashem to return it. But are you mechuyev to? Suppose there won't be a Kiddush Hashem. And is there a problem here of gezel? Or just like we're saying by taking a check and depositing, there might be gezel over here. When I withdraw, I only should have $2,500. I'm one of the children. I should only have $2,500. And when I ask for $5,000, so I'm taking $2,500, or like I ask for $10,000, I'm telling the bank, give me $7,500. I'm like telling them, give me stealing, and I'm stealing from them. Here's my proof. Here's my thing. I have my book says you owe me $10,000. So is that called stealing? So he thinks that is problematical. However, he says a svara like this. Some gaon told him a svara. He said like this: when you write a check, I'm just saying these things to be interesting. When it depends on the mice, you should ask a shayla, but just to know that these are shaylas. He says like this: when I write a check for $2,500, I'm telling the for $10,000, I'm telling the bank, pay to the order of Reuven $10,000. So the bank's going to go and pay Reuven $10,000. And then what's it going to do? It has two choices. It could either decide to take it from my account, and if I have $10,000 in the account, or if I don't have the money in the account, it could decide to give that person $10,000 anyway and write me a letter. We should know that you overdrafted and you have to pay us this money plus a penalty, whatever. So when I tell the bank to write $10,000, to give that roommate $10,000, I'm not necessarily telling him, look, you owe me $10,000 from the bank because you made a mistake and I want to capitalize on it. I'm saying, write $10,000. Whether I have it or not, give him $10,000. So that's as far as he said, but he said, that doesn't make so much sense because suppose you really had $10,000 in your account and you write a check for $10,000 and the bank decides, instead of taking it from your account, it gives you a loan at 9% interest because you said, give him $10,000. I gave him $10,000. Who's, I don't know, was you wanted it from your account? I thought you wanted to open up a loan with us. Right? You'd say, what do you mean? I don't want any loan. I don't pay any interest. So same thing over here. When you write a check for $10,000, you're telling the bank, I want it out of my check. I want it out of my checking account. I don't want any credit. And therefore, you're implying to them that you had $10,000 there. However, if you have overdraft, where you commonly write more money than you have, so then maybe that would be a heter to say, well, look, you know, it could be from an overdraft. That's a possibility. For whatever it is, you're treading with possibly some deraisa here, and it's worth asking a shaila. So to review what we had tonight, we said we're talking once again about toes, where he makes a mistake on his own. Next week we'll talk about cases where you walk out with extra merchandise, where you took out the extra merchandise, not that he gave you the extra, but you, this maisa someone said last week that they went shopping and they bought a stroller and put a lot of stuff in the stroller and they checked out, put everything from the stroller onto the thing and then put it back in the stroller and walked out and forgot to tell them that the stroller they were buying also, and they got home, so there you did it. So that we'll talk about next week. But this week we're talking where they made the mistake. They sent you extra merchandise. They gave you extra change. You have to return it. So number one, if it's chilul Hashem, for sure you have to avoid chilul Hashem. You should tell them, look, I'm relying on your cheshbon, and like the lesson we saw from Rav Kahana, that's the chachila, what one should do. Even if there's no chilul Hashem, if there's a possibility of making a kiddush Hashem, it's certainly a mitzvah to make a kiddush Hashem. The Baal Gola says that no one ever lost from making kiddush Hashem. People did lose by not making kiddush Hashems, and they certainly gain by making a kiddush Hashem. We have the story with Rav Yaakov. Certainly, it's kedai to make a kiddush Hashem. But if there's not going to be a kiddush Hashem, they're in Bombay, they don't care about who you are, what you are, and it's a tircha for them. So then, if there's not going to be a kiddush Hashem, or even if you don't mean it for a kiddush Hashem, you mean it for your own benefit, you want them to like you for whatever reason, so then that's not kiddush Hashem, that doesn't count, you haven't done a mitzvah, and maybe you did an aveira. And finally we learned, if you get an extra check, Pashas Rav Yashiv is saying, and once again, when you quote Rav Yashiv, Rav Abner quotes Rav Yashiv, so if it's not Rav Yashiv, you know, it's Rav Abner at least saying that that's called gezel. We have a svarah for months, maybe it's not real gezel. And then in the final case where the extra money is in your account, there's an additional issue with you're telling the bank, give me that extra money, that seems to be gezel. I'm ordering them to give extra money that I don't really deserve, unless you say, well, I could have gotten into overdraft anyway, and that's not gezel. So that's something to think about, and Lina will be mamshich next week.